Okay, so good morning, everyone. My name is Laszlo Szatmári. I would start with a short introduction, who I am, where I come from. So I finished the university in Hungary. That's where I come from. After the university, I spent 6 years in France, where I did my PhD. I worked on data mining. And after that, I did my postdoc in Canada, Montreal. And since January 2012, I am back in Hungary and I teach there at the university. So this is my country. Budapest is the capital, and I come from Debrecen, which is the second largest city in Hungary. The population is about 300,000 people, and the population of the country is about 10 million. And this is our national flag. Red, white, green. And by flight, the distance between Budapest and Helsinki, it's roughly 1,500 kilometers, 2 hours by flight. And this is my first time here in Finland. I stay for this week. I arrived on Monday and I'm leaving on Saturday. So, you can call me Laszlo, that's my first name. And here is the URL of my homepage. Please visit it and save it in your bookmarks, because today and tomorrow we will use it a lot. The exercises are published on this homepage, so we will have to consult this address a lot. I also wrote it on the whiteboard. So it's arato.inf.unideb.hu/my name with a dot. Do you have it? Okay. So I would show you what we need on this homepage. It is in Hungarian, but if you click on the English flag here on the right side, the main page will be in English. But what we need here are these two links, Intro to Python and Python Exercises. Let's see the first one, Intro to Python. This is a description of the course, but actually what we need here are these links in green. So let's see the course material. Here are some exercises. I will always tell you which one you need to download. And under the slides in this directory, you will find the presentation of this course. It is 10 PDFs. You can also download them and follow the course on your screen, but I will also project it to the wall. Okay, let's go back to my homepage. Here is a direct link to the slides also. And there is a link to the exercises. There are a lot of exercises. We will try to solve many of them. Next to some exercises, you will see this icon. It means that you can verify the result by yourself. Let's see an example. For instance, how much is 2 to the power of 8? If you click on this icon, you can type in your result and you get a feedback. If you type a wrong result, you get an X. If you type the good result, you will get this green sign. So either you get a positive or a negative feedback. Clicking on this icon, on this link, you will get back to the exercise. Okay, Okay, so the course is today and tomorrow, only 2 days. It will be altogether 10 hours. It is not too much, so by the end of the second day, you won't be a professional Python programmer, but you will have a good understanding of the basics of the language. And if you like this language, if you are interested and you want to learn it at home by yourself, then it will be much easier having this good understanding. Okay. Do we have some time to introduce for the students? Just a short introduction. Your name, tell me your name. What programming languages do you know? And why are you interested in Python? Keep it quick. Can you start with you?
Yeah, I'm Harry. I know C sharp, C, Java, JavaScript, HTML, all kinds of stuff. Also I know a bit of Python, so I'm here to broaden my knowledge.
I'm Bono, I know C sharp and Java. I'm a physicist and we need Python, so.
Hi, I'm Jose. I know C sharp and Java. MATLAB also a bit Python, but I like to know some more.
I'm familiar with Java a little bit, and I'm here to learn something about Python.
I'm Rico, and C sharp and Java IoT solutions. That's why I'm
Hi, I'm Abdul, C sharp. I've known our Amazon project Python as well, but I'd like to learn some more.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, I'm Karida. I'm a statistics student, so I learn R and Java and C sharp a bit. And yeah, I'm just interested in that.
Hello, I'm Yuki, and I know C sharp, Java,
Okay. So it's a good thing that everybody knows some programming languages. We will build on that knowledge. And we will start Python from scratch. So this course is for beginners, for Python beginners. So we will start from almost zero. Okay. So we can start the first slide. If you want, you can download the first slide. Just follow this link, intro to Python, then here slides, and just download the first one. Okay. First, I would like to talk about the language itself, and then we will start using it. Okay. So, some bibliography. The creator of the language is called Guido van Rossum. He's a Dutch guy. And he wrote a Python tutorial. When a new version comes out, it is always updated. It is about 130 pages. And it contains almost everything about the language. So it's very dense. But when you finish this course, these 2 days, I think you can start reading this official Python tutorial. When I started learning Python, I also started with this one. Another good book is Core Python Programming from Wesley Chun. It's more than 1,000 pages, so it really contains everything about the language. Here I collected some other interesting books. Here also. We will use Python 3 in this course. So Python is a general purpose language. It means that you can use it for almost anything. You can write in it command line applications, you can write graphical user interface, you can use it for web programming, and so on. And it's a very high-level programming language. It means that you have high-level data structures available in it, like dynamic arrays, set, hash map, and so on. And if you need to write a program, if in C it's, for instance, 100 lines, then in Python maybe it's just 10 lines. And still it's very readable. So the primary design goal of the language was readability. It's an interpreted language. What does it mean? There are compiled languages. What is the difference? So the compiled language produces an executable, a binary output that contains machine codes, and you can execute it directly. And an interpreted language means that there is an interpreter which reads the source code line by line, interprets it, and executes the commands. Can you tell me some compiled languages? C, C++, they are compiled languages. Some interpreted languages, do you know some more? So Python is one. Someone mentioned R, it's also interpreted. Perl, Ruby, PHP, they are all interpreted languages. An interpreted language has advantages and also had disadvantages. We will see lots of advantages, but one disadvantage is that they are not so fast. So a compiled language is always faster than an interpreted one. It is a multi-paradigm language, so you can work imperatively, just like in C, you write functions and the functions call each other, but it's a fully object-oriented language also. I'm not sure if we can get there to write own classes and use own objects, but we will see if we have time. And it has some functional features, but I wrote it with smaller letters because it's not the strong part of the language. The first version was released in 1991, so it's not a new language. And actually, it was named after the Monty Python group, not after the snake, but after this British comedy group. The designer, the creator of the language is Guido van Rossum. Here is his photo. He is a Dutch researcher, programmer. He worked for Google for a long time, and currently he is working at Dropbox. Who uses Dropbox? Only two people? Actually, Dropbox was also written in Python. Here, what languages influenced Python? What languages were influenced by Python? Okay. It has dynamic types, which means that you can create a variable, for instance, a equals 5. When you write it, this variable will be created, and its data type will be automatically an integer. But later you can write a equals a string, and from this moment, the type of a becomes a string. It was an integer, but now it has become a string. It is allowed in Python. And it has a garbage collector. What does it mean? What is a garbage collector? Do you know a garbage collected language, for instance?
Java.
Java and? Everybody learned it with Mr. Reza. C sharp. It's also garbage collected. It means that you create your own objects, but you don't have to delete them manually. In the case of Java is the virtual machine, in the case of Python is the interpreter. It keeps track of the objects, and when an object is not needed anymore, this object will be deleted from the memory automatically. And how will the interpreter or the virtual machine know when to delete an object? There are different strategies. One of them is reference counting, which means that the interpreter keeps track how many references point on an object. And when there is no reference pointing on an object, it means that this object cannot be accessed anymore. We took off all the references, it cannot be accessed, so it can be freed automatically. That's one strategy, a simple strategy. C and C++, they are not garbage collected languages. So when we use those languages and we allocate memory dynamically, we had to free that memory. We had to take care of that. And if you forget that in C or C++, you get memory leaking. It is platform independent. It works very well on Linux, Windows, Macintosh, and so on. Here we will use Windows, but at home I usually use Linux. It works perfectly on both of them. It has a huge standard library, so it says about itself that batteries are included. What is the standard library? So when you install Python, then the standard library is also installed. It's part of the installation. And this is huge in the case of Python. So just using the standard library, you can solve lots of problems. And also, there are thousands of freely available third-party modules. They are collected on this address, pypy.python.org. And I checked it at the beginning of the month. There were almost 114,000 freely available packages just for Python. Python has a package manager. It is called pip. This is the package manager of Python. And using this pip, you can install any of these freely available packages. It is open source. It is easy to learn, fun to use. It has a very simple syntax, and the source code can be read easily. You will see that the source code is almost like pseudocode. So some people say that Python is runnable pseudocode. It has efficient high-level data structures like set, dynamic array, hash table, and it is an object-oriented language. It is an ideal solution for writing small scripts, small programs, but it doesn't mean that you can only write small programs in Python. You can also write large projects with several thousands of lines. It has modules and packages, so you can keep the source code clear. And it is very good also for rapid prototyping. So for instance, you have an idea, and in Python, you can code it, for instance, in half a day or a day. But if you use C++, maybe you would need a week to write that program. In Python, you can work faster. But since it's an interpreted language, it means that the program will be slower. But if speed is not that important, then Python can be also a good solution. There are two branches of the language, Python 2 and Python 3. Here in this class, we will use Python 3. And Python 2 is finished. So the latest version and the last version from Python 2 is 2.7. There won't be 2.8. So 2.7 is the last. And it is updated until 2020. And after that, everybody will have to change to Python 3. If you start a new project, it is a better idea to use Python 3 because new language features will only come to Python 3. The advantage of Python 2 is that it's very stable, and there are still lots of companies who still use Python 2.7 because of its stability. So there are no big differences on the surface. I will mention some of them. Some key differences will be mentioned. Here I collected some links. The official homepage is at python.org. Here you can find the API documentation of the standard library, and so on. Where is it used? It is used at lots of places. If you visit this address, then you will see there are some success stories. Here I only copied the scientific part. It is used in biology, bioinformatics, data mining, data visualization, scientific programming, simulation, weather forecast, and so on.